Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Yes, that will be fine. Yes, once again, good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fantastic, when I tell you a fantastic, we've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. As always, I'm excited. We have my co-host is going to be joining us this evening, Mr. Joshua Jackson, all the way from FMU, Florida Memorial University. He's going to be joining us tonight along with a very special featured guest that we're going to be having. So I want you all to please stand by. Check out my website at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com, either one of those. You can listen to this show and any of its previous archive shows just by simply going to my website. We've done over 1,000 shows now. We're probably in upwards of 1,025 or more. I'm certain that there's a topic out there that's near and dear to your heart. So by all means, we ask that you check out the show, the website, my book. We also send special kudos to my former co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake. She too may be joining us this evening. She's gone on to start her own radio broadcast, and after spending a couple of years with me over the air. And I certainly wish her all the best. And from time to time, I tune into her broadcast as well as she does the same thing, stop by on occasion. You can visit some of the archive shows. And last week we had, I want to send another shout out to the young lady that joined us last week. It was such an outstanding show that, I mean, people are still talking about that show. Miss Kiana Betton, who joined us last week, when the topic was, why can't some mothers and daughters get along? As a matter of fact, we are looking to do a part two of that, and we're anticipating having another person come in and fill in for Ms. Betton. I mean, it was just an outstanding show. And, of course, go back and check out some of our other shows. Why Can't Men and Women Simply Get Along? That was a big show as well. We did that one a couple of weeks ago. I mean, after all of these years, you would think that men and women would be getting along. And, of course, that's not in all cases, just some cases. We've got an upcoming show that I'm very interested in. We're doing a part two on this one as well. Why can't people be honest in their initial stages of dating? Why can't they be honest, or why do they choose not to always be honest in those initial stages of dating? But without further ado, because this show seems like it's, once it gets started, it seems as if we're only on the air for about 15 minutes. So let me kind of wind down and bring in my co-host, Joshua Jackson. Joshua, welcome to the show this evening. We're live.
How you doing, Dr. Walker? Feels good to be back. I hope everybody's out there listening is ready for this hot topic and our special guest as well.
Yes. Joshua, just why don't you give the people kind of an introduction on what you do, how you do it. And, you know, I'm so happy to have him as a mentee of mine and a protege, I should say. He's doing such an outstanding job. Just tell him a little bit about yourself. You're a junior at Florida Memorial University.
Yes, sir. I'm a junior at Florida Memorial University. I'm currently a communications major studying public relations with a minor in marketing. and I'm the president of the marketing club. That's how I met Mr. Jesse Walker at our board of advisors meeting. So ever since then, I've been on there, and I'm loving it ever since. And I appreciate the opportunity, Dr. Jesse Walker.
Okay, no problem at all. We're doing whatever we can. Let's go ahead at this time, and we're going to bring in our very special featured guest this evening. Joining us is a... All right, we're getting some feedback here. Let me see if we can kind of cut that down. All right, she's going to be joining us this evening. She's president and CEO of an organization called Jazz. She's going to explain that to us. She's coming out of sunny South Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to some and present the others, Dr. Green Samuel. Dr. Yolanda Green Samuel. Welcome to the show this evening. You're on the air live. Dr. Samuel? Okay, let's try it again. Okay, now we can hear you. Okay, yes, they were telling us this. All right, go ahead, Dr. Green Samuel.
Okay, sorry about that. Good evening, everyone. This is an opportunity. Thank you so much, Dr. Walker. Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Dr. Yolanda Green Samuel. I am the founder and CEO of Just an Accident Stop, Hit and Run. Can you hear me, Dr. Walker?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So the organization, for many of you who do not know, the organization was founded by myself and along with my husband, Ishmael Samuel. We founded this organization to bring awareness to hit-and-run accidents. After I lost my brother in 2014, September 13, 2014, I lost my brother, and after that great loss, we formed this organization to bring awareness to hit and run everywhere. And I know that you know that there's been an increase of hit and runs. And so we have three pillars that we focus on. We bring awareness, education, and we advocate for the victims and their families.
Okay, that is excellent. And how long, you all have been out there for how long now?
Started back in September of last year. And we've done a number of things since then. We had a Ride for Gene, which is a ride to celebrate the life of my brother, Gene, last year, October 1st. And then we also had an event called Broken Voices. We brought this particular initiative because we wanted to give the people who have been impacted most by the hit and runs and their families a platform to which to speak about their plight and their hurt and their pain. So we had an event called Broken Voices, and that event was on December the 17th, this past December. And we're looking forward to a huge event that's going to take place September the 24th. We're putting together a huge ride for Gene. We're partnering up with BSO, which is the Broward Sheriff's Department, and we're partnering up with one of my close friends. So these are things that's coming. We're in the works of putting together quite a few things, so we're looking forward to that. And again, it's all about bringing awareness, education, and we're advocating for the victims and their families. And our goal is to eliminate hit-and-run fatalities by 2021.
All right. Well, that is great. And how do they get in touch with you if someone's interested? A phone number, a website, office number?
Our phone number is 305-203-1689, and our website is justanaccidents.org.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like there's a very noble thing that you're doing.
Can I repeat that number again?
Okay,
because yes. I'm not sure if you can hear me. It's 305-203-1689. And our website is justanaccidents.org.
Okay, and that's Just an Accident, and it's J-A-A something.
J-A-A, yes, Just an Accident Stop. It was Just an Accident.
Okay, all right. Excellent. Dr. Green Samuel, first let me begin by saying I'm you know, even though it's been 2 years or going on three, a loss, when we suffer a loss, and I certainly have suffered a multitude of losses, our lives are always affected. And I just want to send out that I'm so sorry to hear that you're, you know, happened like this. But it turns out that sometimes through tragedy, and I'm so happy to hear that you all, you and your husband, have started this organization to bring awareness, education, and you're an advocate for others that have had these types of losses. So let me just be one of those that commend you all for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Dr. Walker. It's important to have the support, and we're looking for additional support. We're looking for volunteers. If anyone is interested, they can go to our website. We have a place where they can volunteer, fill out the form and volunteer. That way, also, they can inbox me at justanaccidents.com, which is our Facebook page. We're looking for volunteers, and we're trying to put together with the initiative that we're doing in September. We're looking to give away 100 bicycles, and we're trying to get support in that effort.
Oh, that is really nice. You know, you can, having said that, you can come on my show anytime, any Tuesday that I'm on the air or any Friday that I'm on the air, particularly our Tuesday night show broadcast, and you can advertise, you know, as often as you like for any upcoming events, and just to bring continued awareness and education and advocacy to the constituents out there that may be tuning in to get a listening. This broadcast is heard around the world. So, and we have approximately 10,000, just over 10,000 people that view my websites every month. It's recorded. And so,
awesome.
Yeah, so anytime that you need to come on, and you don't even have to be the featured guest, just come on and introduce yourself to the new listeners. And I'll always give you that opportunity to give you that voice out there.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Walker. I really appreciate that. That's a great partnership. And I don't take it lightly. I thank you very much for that, sir.
Well, I think that all of us, you know, we have to be supportive. Joshua, go ahead and welcome Dr. Green Samuel.
How you doing, Dr. Green Samuel? How you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, young man, just fine. I hear you're doing wonderful things at Florida Memorial University. Thank you so very much for all that you do.
I'm trying. Thank you for all the compliments.
All right, let's get right to tonight's broadcast. We're going to go right now to our story, our headliner for this evening. Tonight's topic is, should parents have an open door policy with their children, regardless of the children's age? Our characters in tonight's story are India, Jeff, and their three teenage children. Now, Indy and Jeff, and this is quite a long story, so please try to follow along as best you all can. India, just like the country, Jeff and their three teenage children. India and Jeff have a very successful marriage for the past 23 years. Now, to this union, they have three teenage children, ages 13, 17, and 21. The 13-year-old is their youngest. He's a male, and the 17 and 21-year-old are females. The parents have had an open-door policy with all their children since they were all in elementary school. This open-door policy has worked out most of the time to the parents' advantage. However, let me just visit the studio. You all, excuse me one second. I got to visit the studio because we've got – it picks up every sound from anywhere. This is a new studio that we're dealing with, so I apologize for that because we're picking up too much static in the back. The parents have had an open-door policy with all their children since they were all in elementary school. This open-door policy has worked out most of the time to the parents' advantage. However, the older girls, the 17 and 21-year-old, have not been fans since their teenage years and now adult and adolescent years. They personally feel that the parents used this particular tactic to inquire into their personal lives and things about them and their friends that most children would dare not share with any adult, especially their own parents. It appeared that as the girls became older, they realized their parents were putting things back to them that they had previously shared with them over the years. As a result, the oldest girl rebelled and has two children out of wedlock and still living at home and facing, of course, challenges from her parents in terms of trying to control her adult life. The only reason she lives at home is because she can't afford to live on her own, since she does not receive any support from either of her children's father. What appeared to be good intentions of the parents has now turned out to them to their disadvantage, as evidence of the other two children having major difficulty in school with all types of behavioral problems and challenges. The parents are good parents with religious intent, but somehow they don't understand why their children have taken the route they've chosen to go against the grain. They've insisted, that's right, the parents have insisted that their objective has basically been to simply deter behaviors that could likely cause their children to get sidetracked in life. And this seems to be common that good parents would want to do. Now, here are just some of the strategies that these parents use in the elementary years of their children. And we're just going to run through them real quickly, and we'll reemphasize them as we go throughout tonight's broadcast. Number one, they insisted the children attend church and sit with them until the age of 13. Seems normal. Number two, they had worship in the home every single day for a minimum of 1 hour. All right, well, that might be to some families normal or extreme. Number three, they insisted the children do their chores before watching TV or going out to play. Normal, it appears. They wanted a list of all their children's friends and phone numbers. I mean, for safety purposes, that would make sense. Number five, they wanted the kids to talk to them about any issues they may be having with anyone at any time. In elementary school, that seems reasonable, and as they begin to get older, I mean, to me, it does. And number six, they were strict parents when it came to dating, such as no boyfriend or girlfriend until their junior year of college. Some might consider that to be rather extreme. Number seven, don't even think about being intimate with someone before you're married. Well, that's how most of us are perhaps taught, and then it becomes subjective. Number eight, they chose to pick the college for their children. Most kids don't want you to tell them where to go. Number nine, they established this open-door policy once a week where the children had to come. They had to come in and share with them by giving account of their weekly activities of just about everything. Boring. Number 10, even now, the parents have an expectation that the children tell them pertinent things. Now, even the youngest child is opposed to this so-called open-door policy, and the parents can't understand why. And the kids tend to think that it's filled with restrictions. Questions are, and I start out first by presenting this to our featured guest this evening. The open door policy appears to be, it may appear to be, to some, to be reasonable. And I want to find out what our featured guests say, because to some people this appears to be reasonable. Dr. Green Samuel, what would you say? Does this, these restrictions, these limitations, or these this open door, so-called open door policy, does this sound reasonable to you?
When you say, well, just as you mentioned, so-called open door policy, I think it's pretty restrictive as far as the parents wanting an account of everything that the children do. No, I would not agree with that. However, some of the things that you mentioned, I totally agree with. Raising my daughter, I believe that having a handle on what she was doing, the type of friends that she interacted with, it was paramount for me to be a part of her life in that way, because I needed to know to what degree her interaction with her friends. I needed to know the circle that she was, the children that she was hanging out with. I believe birds of a feather flock together. So that's how I was raised. You hang out with those who are like yourself. So if my child was not hanging out with the right person, I would certainly have a conversation with her about, you know, like-mindedness. You know, you don't want to hang out with people who do not have the same understanding or the same upbringing. So, yeah, I had conversations with my child about hanging out with certain people. And but I did not have her give me an account of everything that she did in school. I think just having a good relationship with your children sets a precedent. It sets a better understanding. You don't have to know everything. They'll come to you, and they'll be willing to have that conversation with you.
Okay, that's interesting. Dr. Greenstein, while I've got you here, just before we go to the phone lines and just before I bring my co-host in with his comments, and for those of you all that are listening, you can press 1 at any time to get in the queue to speak to the host, co-host, or to our featured guest with a comment or thought of your own. Let me ask you, is there anything on that particular list that you may consider to be, I mean, you mentioned we seem to toy with words of restriction or limitations. What, if anything, would you consider taking off on there?
Well, again, Dr. Walker, it really stems from your values. Everyone has a set of values. I don't judge anyone and their values. I believe in the way that I was reared. I honestly don't think that my parents went wrong with raising me, so I try to stick to as close to the values on how I was reared.
Okay.
So
I wouldn't
judge anyone. That's how they raise their children. I don't judge. I try to just stick to how I deem is necessary in raising my child. Remember, there's no manual.
Okay.
And so we all just kind of do things the way we feel that is best, and we try to follow a rule of thumb that we see that raising children is going this way, then we may have to, you know, change some things. But values, I think values is the most important thing.
Okay. All right. Let me bring my co-host in, Joshua. He, as a young man, and Joshua, let me bring this over to you now because this is quite interesting. And I can respect Dr. Green Samuel's thoughts on she doesn't judge and parents because it doesn't come with a manual and parents, you know, has to perhaps play it out as they go along, hopefully having some guidance and direction in mind. You as a young man, there's one on there, and you happen to be a junior at university. How do you feel about that particular one where it says no boyfriend, girlfriend to your junior year of college? How do you feel about that, Joshua? That would be you. You had to wait all of these years.
I
love that one. That's my favorite. That's one of my favorites. But go ahead. That's one of my favorites on that list. Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'll tell you why, but go ahead. Give me your thought.
I said I would have broke my mother's heart a long time ago, Dr. Jesse Walker. But honestly, I don't know about that. Wait until you're in junior phase. I probably wouldn't even know how to react to a female on that level if I waited to my junior year. Yeah, I mean, how would I even know what I like in a female by then? It just would have been so many phases I would have skipped and missed just because I was too scared to even be like, hey, my mom said I can't have a girlfriend right now. You know, it would have just made me. I don't know. That was. Well, I don't know about that one. But
you don't know about that one.
I wouldn't take that route. I feel as if if I'm honest with my child in the future, and I'm not going to say near future, but in the future, I would have the open door policy to put implements on dating because I feel as if once they get to high school, you're going to dances and stuff like that. So dating is still in that realm, even though we tell them, hey, not till your junior year. So that's when you start giving them the talks. Hey, I know you're getting older. You're thinking about college. And then they pick the college for the student.
Yeah,
they have, I like that one too.
Joshua, can I just
chime
in and say?
Yeah, come on in, Dr. Green. We've got a number of callers. I know that we're blowing up the line tonight, but go ahead, Dr. Green Samuel.
You start having that conversation much earlier with the kids. I mean, these kids today, they're really social. They like each other as early as second and third grade. So you have to have those conversations and steer them in the right direction very early. And can't wait until you have that conversation in middle school. These kids, I mean, they're really, really more advanced than we were in my day. So having the right conversation starts early. About socialization, social skills.
I think that is so important. We're going to go to the phone lines. We've got the people lined up this evening. I just want to say, Josh, I got to ask you this question. I mean, you're saying you would have broken your mother's heart a long time ago. I mean, what are these kids, Dr. Samuel Green, going to do in second and third grade? The most I can see happening way back when was, do you like me? Yes or no? And it took a lot of courage for a guy to send a girl a note to say, do you like me, yes or no? And you sometimes you're kind of hoping that she said no to take the pressure off of you. And second grade, I recall that, you know, exclusively.
They're still at that level where they send a letter and send a friend and say, I like this person or I like that person. So we're still at that level for the most part. However,
okay.
Like I said, you definitely have to have the conversation early.
All right. We're going to ask you both to stand by, please. We got the lines blown up tonight. Let's go all the way to 954-206. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us this evening. Rose, what's on your mind? I mean, the open door policy.
You know what? I totally agree with the open door policy, but as I listen to the story, in my opinion, that's not really an open door policy because she is demanding that the children tell her everything that goes on. And I just think that it's too rigid. I think that, in my opinion, would drive the child away from wanting to be open. I think I had an open door or somewhat an open door policy with my kids, but I didn't demand them to tell me. I feel when you demand, then you close down that child. It has to be a free will. You put the open door policy in place. You let them know that, you know, you can always come to talk to me about anything you need to. And as a matter of fact, if something goes wrong and you did something wrong, make sure I hear it from you first before I hear it from someone else, because if I hear it from someone else, the punishment is going to be harder, you know. I mean, that's what I told my kids. So this mother who is telling the child that, or the kids, that you got to tell me everything, I got to pick your college, I got to do this, you got to do that. You know, you can't have a boyfriend or you can't date until you're in the junior. I mean, that child is going to date behind that parent back anyway, you know. Now, to me, an open door policy is just inviting the child. You come to me, you know, let me tell you what you need to know, what you hear on the outside, so you don't go to a friend to learn the wrong thing. You know, if something happened, you come to me. If you have questions, you know, come to me. Come tell me how your day is,
right,
and I tell you how my day was. You know, that's open. Yeah, you know, so
right,
that's how I feel. And you know,
well,
one more thing. When I was growing up, my parents actually chose my friends. You know, and you find that I kind of sort of did the same thing with my girls. I kind of selected their friends because You got to be so careful and you got to guide them. You know, in doing the initial selection, you're kind of guiding them into, you know, what you should be looking for in a friend so that they can choose better friends when they get older.
All right.
Absolutely.
Rose, let me just ask you real quickly so we can move on. And we've got a number of people that are trying to get in. Let me just ask you, you say you mentioned your girls. I don't know a couple of things here. One, I don't know many boys that would be comfortable talking to their mom, not even their dad all the time, about, you know, their anticipation of sexual activities in their teenage years. That's one. But then let me ask you, just like in tonight's story, the oldest daughter rebelled and had two kids out of wedlock. Do you think that may have contributed to that cause, that her mother being so restricted or the parents being restricted like that? And then question number three, this is optional, did your children ever rebel as a result of your open door policy?
Okay, yeah, I believe that being so rigid could cause the child to go to rebel and do what he or she knows the parents does not want them to do, you know, and that's the danger of being so rigid. I think your question, did any of my kids rebel? You know what? I do. It's not because of the open door policy. That was really good. That was fine. But my middle child rebelled a little bit, but that was totally different. You know, it was because of the divorce that we went through. And I mean, that might be her way of dealing with it. But that had nothing to do with the open door policy that we had. That really went fine all the way through.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can also catch us on the air at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. Tune in if you're listening by way of internet and you want to come on board. You can call 347-857-1769. Our featured guest this evening is Dr. Yolanda Green Samuel. She's president and CEO of JAZZ, Just an Accident Stop. It's an organization that you will want to get in touch with. She's given out information at the top of the hour, and we're going to go back to her now just so she can repeat that information once again for those of you all that may just be joining us, and then we're going to go on to, back to the phone line. Dr. Green Samuel, would you just go ahead and reiterate your contact information, please?
Yes, sir. That information, our phone number is 305-20-1089. Find us on Facebook at Just an Accident Stop, and our website is justanaccidentstop.org. Please check us out.
All right. All right. Stand by Dr. Samuel Green and Dr. Green Samuel, as well as Joshua. Stand by for us. We've got to take some of these calls. We have a number of comments that are flooding the studio already. Why don't we go to 205, looks like Alabama, 908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Oh, hello, Doc. This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. Jack, what's your thoughts this evening?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. First of all, the question that you asked a young man about holding out, you know, from a woman while he was in college, right? Now, that's from a biblical standpoint. We know that that is definitely indeed the case, that we're supposed to save ourselves until we're married. But in this day and age, you know, nobody is doing that, but that doesn't mean that it's right. See, God made man and woman, and he made the intricacy of lovemaking. And as long as it's done in the confines of the home. But I'm a man, so what God has given me in terms of my feelings and what I'm supposed to do as far as procreating and all of that, you can't take that away from me. You can't take this energy that I have and say that you're going to hold out on it. That's a no. God gave us these feelings, okay, and we're supposed to exercise this energy that we have. We're supposed to be with the woman. We're supposed to be there with her, caressing her, making her feel good. And she does the same thing with us. We're supposed to render due benevolence one to another, saying the little niceties and doing the little kind things and showing the love and the respect and all that. That's what this whole shebang is all about. So when you deviate from that, then it's caused this problem. And that's why the world is in a turmoil the way that it is, because we've deviated from the blueprint that God gave us from the very beginning, that is, that the marriage is holy and the bed is undefiled. So it's right there. It's printed in the blue pages of the Bible, telling us exactly how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do to make each other happy and trying to help each other to get to the kingdom. That's what it's all about.
Okay, just let me ask you, Jack, and we've got to move on quickly, you all. We're running out of time now. Are you saying then that you agree with what these parents in their open door policy, no boyfriend, girlfriend to your junior year of college, you tend to agree with that? Or simply until you get married, you know, and that was one of the stipulations, don't even think about intimacy until you're married.
Now, it didn't happen with me, I'm going to be straight up, but I do believe in that. I believe in that now, but it didn't happen in my case, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm so self-righteous or whatever that, you know, but I know it didn't happen with me, but I believe in that now. You got to think in terms of all the different things that's out there, too. Now, it's commanded by the Bible, but think about all, no, there's no but think about all the diseases and all those things that are happening out in the world today as well. So one spouse, one woman, one man.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines again. We're going to bring in our featured guest as well as my co-host in just a second. We are running out of time already. They're telling me we've got about 23 minutes before we close the show out this evening. Let's go to 786-444. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live.
Hi, this is Pat.
Pat, thank you for joining us this evening. Yes, we can. Pat, thank you for joining us. Pat, what's your take on this here?
Well, I want to piggyback on what Jay just said about the marriage. I look at this. I have an apple. And if every time I meet someone, they take a bite of that apple, after a while, all I have is the core.
Mm.
By the time I'm getting ready to settle down with someone, I really have nothing to offer.
Mm.
See? Because all that's left is just the core of the apple. Now, when it comes down to the open door policy that you guys are talking about, I kind of agree with it to a certain point, but I believe that after a while, as a child, you know, beginning to get into adulthood or a more aggressive age, I think the parents should kind of loosen up a little bit, try to give them some space. Because if they don't do that, then the child is going to be resentful. She's going to back off. She's not going to, he or she's not going to want to discuss certain things with the parent. I never have. I wouldn't say I have an open door policy because I grew up in a different environment. I beg your pardon?
No, go ahead. We're getting background noise. Let me see if I can mute some of that out. Go ahead.
Okay. I wouldn't say I grew up with an open door policy because parents back then you don't go to them and tell them every and anything. But I was able to make the right decision just by what I've seen my parents do and, you know, by the lifestyle that they live. And I've learned how to not do the things that are going to affect me later. So I'm saying with the story that you guys were talking about, the young lady got pregnant, had two children, maybe the parents should have kind of give them a little more space instead of being so tight-hold on the child.
Okay. All right, Pat, we're going to ask you to stand by. Joshua, let me just ask you, let's go back just for a second. Do you think Pat is pretty much on point? I mean, parents kind of ease up, and what do you think?
I agree with Pat 100% because as we grow older, our understanding becomes wider, and we broaden our horizons. What we see in school is what the kids learn in school as well. So if we have our parents who are directing us in the right direction but not controlling us to an extent, just leading us, not controlling, there is a big difference in leading and controlling. So if they're more as leading and giving advice as when needed, when the child is going through certain problems, they're going to, one, respect the parent more because they don't feel as if the parent is judging them or is going to punish them for every mistake that they make, because then what kind of life is that? You're going to be fearful to make mistakes. And without mistakes, how do we learn?
All right, so, Dr. Green Samuel. Let me bring you in just for a second. Joshua, thank you for that. Let me bring you in for a second here, Dr. Green Samuel, and the mistakes. You know, we don't make the mistakes, but some mistakes can be fatal. I mean, you get out there and you're dating before your junior year of college. I tend to love that one. But you're dating before your junior year of college, and all of a sudden now this one date that you figure you got to go on and have this. I mean, other countries here, sometimes the companions are selected for them before there's any intimacy involved. Could this be a cultural thing, meaning a Western thing, you know, an American culture thing? I mean, because we seem to be the ones, and from my perspective, the ones that, oh, give them a little break, and then we seem to be, and then sometimes given that break, we're out of control. Dr. Green Samuel?
I don't think it's a culture thing. I think it's a human thing. My belief is, again, it's imperative that as we rear our children, we rear them in the way that we believe is best for them, that's going to have the best results. What I mean by that is you do the best that you can. Again, there is no manual for this. So you try to make as few mistakes as possible. However, with this whole dating thing, I started having conversations early about just socializing, having friends. Because if you have good friendships and you develop good friendships, that then helps them to become better decision makers when they start to have relationships with the opposite sex. So I believe in having, for, this is only coming from my standpoint, how I reared my daughter. I had a conversation with her early about friendships and relationships, and I continued to have those relationships. I believe in building a relationship with my child so that she would feel comfortable with having that kind of conversation with me. She comes to me and she talks to me. So my take is you have to make sure that you build those relationships, and then they will come to you. Having that strong hand on them, that's someone else's way of doing things. I'm okay with it if that's how they want to do it. But for me, I believe in having a conversation, a relationship, building a relationship, and then I allow that relationship to develop into her adulthood now, where she can come to me and have those conversations, those open conversations with me. So that strong hand for me did not work. I had to set a foundation first.
Okay, all right. Dr. Green Sammy, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to 614-313. We've got a number of callers calling in tonight, so we're going to try to get to them. We're going to ask that you all limit your comments to 15 seconds or less, please. And we're going to try to get in as many calls as we can tonight, along with some of the comments that are coming as well. 614-313, you're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show.
Yes, this is Audrey B., life coach, and I just like to comment on, well, first of all, I'm the mother of two adult sons who both have, aspired. And my point is, you can teach your children how to talk to you. And what I'm really trying to say is you can have that. You can't force that relationship. I think a lot of people said this already. You know, what you do, and Dr. Walker, I'd like to comment on something you said as well. Boys will come to their mother and talk about sexuality. I'm living proof. I set an example in an atmosphere where they can talk to me about anything. And I agree with your host there, a co-host that's in guest, that says you have to start these conversations early. You have to start at a very young age. Tell them what their body parts are. Stop calling it little names. You have to be real. Also, the last thing I'll say is I did some teen talk programs in schools in South Carolina, and they're still running from 2000. And in those programs, we taught the teens how to make decisions. You can't be with your kids everywhere they go, so you have to equip them with good decision-making. Instead of trying to control them, how about you just teach them how to make healthy choices, so when they're not around you, they'll make good decisions.
Ms. Audrey B., it's nice to have you on the air. Those of you all don't know, Ms. Audrey B. has been my co-host with me for 2 years, and I wish she's doing so many great things out there, and I wish her so well. Ms. B., we keep it real. You and I used it when you were on the air with me. I took off the gloves, and so did you, and we went bare knuckles sometimes. And let me just ask you, you got two boys, you mentioned that, you called that out. Let me just ask you, they're coming to you now, they're 14, and saying, Mom, my hormones are out of balance. What do I do? What do I do? Do you give them contraceptives? Can they talk freely? Mom, I have an urge for this girl. She's hot. I mean, what do you do, Ms. Audrey B.?
Well, luckily, I have some training both in psychology and a master's in public health. And so I come from both perspectives, a public health and a behavioral health perspective. But I talk to them, and I guess my first question would be like, why do you want to do this? And then definitely.
Why do you
want to
Why do you want to be intimate with this girl? You're asking them
I'll ask them, like, what's your purpose? And then I talk about his future. So I'll really encourage him to wait until marriage, but I'm a keep it real kind of person. Most children don't, but a lot of them do. And the ones that do, you equip them with that. But the ones that are thinking that they might not, you tell them it's best to wait for marriage. That's the way God intended. But here's your condom. Here's how you do this. Here's how you put it on.
Wow.
Here's how you do this. You don't want to have to use this, but if you do, sometimes I can't make decisions for you. I would prefer you wait. But if you don't wait, you need to be safe.
Okay. All right. We're going to just stand by, Ms. Audrey. We got so many things. I got to go to the phone lines again. We're going to go to 786-985. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We got to keep the comments kind of limited. We got to get back to my co-host in a minute and my featured guest. Who do we have this evening? And welcome, 786-985.
Yes, this is Ms. X.
X. Thank you for joining us. X, what's on your mind?
And so what I'd like to say is with that open door policy, I believe that the standards are set high because the parents are trying to set a bar by which they hope that the kids will reach. But I think if a parent is also open-minded and also knowing themselves or maybe knowing some of their friends' kids, you know, that were growing up along when they were or their siblings, you know, some kids are going to reach that bar. They're not going to, you know, because of it being so stringent. And then there are others who are going to think, you know, that's just too much, and they probably are not going to do that. However, it leaves room for the kids not only to fall, but it leaves room for the kids to fall, but hopefully not to fail. My thing is, if you start to set the bar too low, then kids have nothing to strive or aspire for. And neither one, however, is a prescription to be definitive as to whether or not a kid is going to succeed or fail, because you can be less stringent and a kid does everything that you know, goes beyond your expectations. And sometimes you can have that bar set so high that the kid is set up to fail. So, I mean, we don't come here with a plan. We don't come here with anything. It's just the individual, and you're dealing with different individuals, different personalities, and a whole lot of other things that come into play. And sometimes kids just come with their own agenda.
All right. Ms. X, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to try to get back to some of our prior callers if time permits. Dr. Greenfamily, you mentioned that there's no training manual. You know, even the Bible, Jack mentioned, he brought the Bible tonight. And, you know, train up a child. I think about Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. Is there a script? I mean, if we set the, Ms. X has said here, if we set the bar too low, then there's consequence of that. So it almost seems like no matter what you do as a parent, there's no guarantees because there was no script. What do you make of that?
You need to support your child, Dr. Walker, wherever they are, wherever they meet you. That's where you need to support them. There is no script. We do trial and error. We try to make as few mistakes as possible. And I'm a Christian, and the Bible is a rule of thumb. So for me, this is how I rear my daughter. That's how I raise my daughter.
Right.
I don't profess to know everything. I can just tell you, I don't judge anyone.
Right.
I allow them to be who they are, and for me, I'm a child of God, and so it says we're not supposed to judge. So I don't judge. I just try to focus on doing the right thing and making sure that I raise her the best way I can by using the Bible as a guide.
Okay. Dr. Greenstein, let me just ask you, because I posed a question to Ms. Audrey B. earlier. The 14-year-old comes to you. Let's just say let's say if you had a son or someone comes to you for counsel and they have a 14-year-old son and the parents can't make any leeway out of this. The father tends to understand, but because of their belief system, the boy is saying, I can't help my nature. I'm just, you know, anxious that this girl and I, we've been liking each other for a while now, and my feelings are increased, and I want to express myself intimately with her. So they come to you, what do you do? And they say, well, the parents are asking, do we give them condoms? You know, it seems like that's an encouragement to some and others perhaps not. Your thoughts. And then, Jack, we're going to try to bring you back in. We're gonna go to 863. Looks like Tampa. We're gonna try to get to you as well. But give me your thoughts on that.
Were you posing a question to me, Dr.
Yes, yes, yes.
Struggles with that question. However, I encourage my daughter to wait until she is married, as the Bible says.
We had constant conversations about it. And as I know right now, you know, she is still a virgin, but I can't really answer that one. That's a very difficult one, to be very honest with you. Every parent has that struggle.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Dr. Green. Let's go to the phone lines once again. And those of you all, we're trying to get to, we've got 8 minutes before we close, so I haven't even taken one comment. But let's go now to 863-412. We're going to go to Tampa. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walker Show. You're on the air live.
How you doing, Dr. Walker? This is Dennis.
Doing great, Dennis. Thank you for joining us this evening, Dennis. Dennis, what are your thoughts? I mean, I've heard a lot of different things tonight.
Yeah, my guide, my script, always has been the Bible. And when I dealt with my children, it was the Bible. And I could not waver on it. And I had to live the life that made it possible for them to live the life. If they were going through something, I worked with them. I had the open door policy. We could talk about anything, and we did. My wife, she was there. My son had, I was not home, had sexual questions. He could talk with her. She was the guidance counselor. My daughter could talk with her, and they could talk with me. I did not have an open door policy. The policy we had was to do the Lord's will. And I had to be that example. My wife had to be that example. My parents were that example. It was just straightforward. We cannot deviate from strict integrity and meet God's approval. I'm just strict with it. I was not overbearing. I listened. Now, that even I taught school. And so the children that I had in school understood my principles as well. Until like about 6 months ago, my daughter talked back to a friend that she went to school with in the eighth grade. I was the dean at the school. He has children now. He's not married. He has children. And he asked me that she had. And before she could answer, he answered, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. You're Mr. Quisenberry's daughter. I know you don't have any."
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't. She's not married, and she doesn't have any children. So,
okay. All right. Go ahead,
you know,
Dennis, and make your point. So,
right. My point is you got to follow through.
Okay. All right. We're going to – Pat,
Dr.
we want to bring you back in.
Can I chime
yes,
in?
Go ahead.
Dr. Walker, let me chime in.
Yes.
Just so that I'm very clear about my stand. As a parent, my goal is to love my child, to guide my child, and to be there when my child messes up, and to let my child know that we're human, we are going to mess up. Because my religion works for me, it may not work for everyone else. You understand?
Right.
I just want to be very clear about that. I'm here as a support for my child. And per the storyline, I just believe that, again, there is no manual for our children, and that's my take.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Dr. Green. Family, let's go back to Jack. Jack, just here, we've heard a lot of things tonight. The producers are sending me a message to see if we can do a part two of this with Dr. Green Family coming back as our featured guest as well. We'll get to that in just a second, but, Jack, let me just get your thoughts on this. Give them the contraceptive at 14. I mean, that seems almost like it's encouraging you to go through with it. You know, on one end, we might sound that we have the religious intent, but on the other hand, we're keeping it practical. I mean, where do you draw the line? Jack, that question was for you. All right, perhaps we've lost Jack. Let's go to Rose. Rose, let's bring you in and give you that same question, Rose.
Hi, you know, maybe I'm not that type of parent. I'm not as liberal yet, so I would not be giving the concerts, I just would not be doing that. I'm sorry. I would encourage them to wait until they're married. And although I know that might not be what they do, but I am not going to give them the okay to have sex.
I see. So the kid now, I mean, he's 28, and he just can't find the right one that measures up to his mother's standards. He's climbing walls because he's trying to hold out. And he finally comes to you as an adult and says, "Mama, you know what? I ain't bringing no grandchildren right about now. I can't find the right one. And I'm about to explode." And you see certain characteristics in his behavior to know that perhaps he's, you know, he's trying to hold himself. What do you say, Rose, if anything?
Oh, so now he's no longer 14 when he came to me with that question. Now
he's
23. Said,
28.
Now he's,
it's a difficult one, isn't it? Yeah.
I would
28. He's 28.
Oh, he's 28. You know what,
yeah.
Dr. Walker? I am still going to tell him what God says. Now,
right. Okay.
It's up to him to either take that or do his own thing, but I could not live with my conscience with God if I told him to go out there and commit adultery or fornication. I couldn't do that. I would still have to tell him according to the Bible, and whatever he chooses to do, that's on him.
All right. Rose, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me bring Joshua in just for a second. Joshua, you think that 28-year-old is going to, I mean, he's waited till his junior year of college, I'm sure like you do, Joshua. But you don't have to respond to that, Joshua. But what do you think that 28, do you think he's listening to his fans at that level, at that point?
At 28 years old, he's a grown man. And he has listened to his mother to this point up. He's going to continue to listen, even though he's at his breaking point of, I can't find anybody. You can't just make a radical decision, especially at 28, and you have a life, or you have kids. I mean, not kids, you have bills you have to pay. To just fornicate and pop a baby in somebody you would even know at that time, just because you're at the point of, I want to bring home I want my mom to have a grandchild, my parents to have a grandchild, you're gonna possibly mess up your own future, because you have to know the person. If you don't like the person, that's why we have so many broken homes. It's because we don't actually know the person we're having babies with. We don't spend enough time making sure we have the same set goals. And we talked about this kind of in our past shows, that we really don't think, we think we know the person that we're marrying and things like this. And then once we're in a relationship and we're living together for 5 and 6 years, oh, I hate you now all of a sudden. Well, how can you figure this out before we got married? Because we didn't spend enough time making sure we knew the ins and outs of that person. So that's just my perspective on it.
Which you never will know until you actually live with them, and then you still don't know, because we're going through developmental stages. Dr. Greenstein, we're going to bring you in just a second to close us out tonight. We've got less than 2 minutes. Let me just go to Pat real quick. Bring you back in here, Pat. We tried to reach Jack. I think we've lost Jack. Pat, let's bring you back in. I like your analogy of the apple and core, little by little. You know, tonight's story,
okay.
The open door policy. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay, my thing is, what's the rush? You have a lifetime to do that. There's no need to be rushing. Just like I said with the apple, if you keep biting and biting and biting, when it's time for you to get married and settle down, you have nothing to offer, because everything is just going to be the same. You're just going to be comparing Big Tom and Harry to what you've already gone through. You have nothing to really to offer your husband or your wife. So the best thing is just wait. Just wait. Be patient.
Okay.
If it's good, then it'll be even be better.
It'll be better. Okay.
Later on.
Let me just jump. We're going to ask all of you to stand by just a second. We got to close it out in just a second. But before we do, I got to give Ms. Audrey B. an opportunity to respond to some of the thoughts we had this evening, and then we'll close it out. Ms. Audrey B., go ahead.
And I'll keep it very brief. I want to be clear, I don't promote premarital sex. That's not what I was saying. But I am a real person, and we tend to give those answers that we think we're supposed to say, and we don't always just tell the truth about what we really do. And the last thing I'll say to keep in mind in South Carolina, they don't allow sex education in the schools. They can't teach about HIV. And I was a director of an HIV program, and I'm going to tell you what happens. By not talking to your kids and just telling them to just say no, one of the fastest growing populations in our HIV clinics now are those college-age kids, those kids that you didn't talk to, that you didn't tell about being safe.
Wow.
That's just
that
my
is,
thoughts.
That is very interesting. Let me go ahead. We got to close it out. We weren't able to, those of you all that sent in your comments, we're going to now see the producer saying we can do part two as early as next week or the following week. Let's find out the availability of Dr. Green Samuel being able to come back with Dr. Green Samuel. We got to do a part two on this one here. When would you possibly be available next Tuesday, same time?
At this point, Dr. Walker, I'm not sure. I have not been able to check my schedule, but I will certainly get back with you on that one.
Okay. All right. Then if not next Tuesday, perhaps the following week. Dr. Green Samuel, for all of you all that have tuned in tonight, it's been an outstanding show. We do apologize for those of you all we weren't able to get to. The comments, you flooded us with comments tonight. We do apologize for not getting those to read your comment. Dr. Samuel Green, just give us a final thought on, you know, your understanding or interpretation or your presentation of what an open door policy should be with your children, regardless of their age.
I strongly believe our role as parents is to guide, support, and love our children, Dr. Walker, and that's my take on it.
All right, love, guide, and support our children. And once again, Dr. Samuel Green, give us the contact information, the name of your organization again, and how they can get in touch with you through contact and email, once again, just before you leave us.
I want to, again, thank you for this opportunity, Dr. Walker. It's been an amazing evening. My organization is Just an Accident, Stop, Kid, and Run. Our Facebook is Just an Accident, Stop. I'm hearing some feedback. I'm not sure. Can you hear me, Dr. Walker?
Yes, I can hear you. You're perfectly well on this end. They're cutting out
okay. Some
of the other areas.
Our website is justanaccidentstop.org. You can also support us through sponsorship at admin@justanaccidentstop.com.
Okay.
We are looking for support. We are trying to give away 100 bikes at our event in September 24th. Thank you so very much, Dr. Walker.
Okay, you're quite welcome. Where's that event once again going to take place? In South Florida.
The information will be forthcoming on our website as well as on Facebook. We are trying to strategically plan that event right now, so it's in the stages of planning.
As time progresses,
and
you're welcome to come on show at any time.
Just one final thought. It doesn't matter to you until it happens to you. That's the one thing that I've been saying. It doesn't matter to you until it happens to you. Just an accident stops. Thank you so much, Dr. Walker.
And thank you for being our featured guest this evening. Joshua, thank you for being with us as always. All of you all that tuned in. Joshua, did you hear? Joshua?
It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Joshua.
Okay. All right. Listen, all of you all, thank you for tuning in. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program at 7 p.m. from 7 to 7:30 p.m. If you, of course, choose to bypass this Friday, join us again back here live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Have a good evening, everyone.
Have a great evening.